see everyone out this morning or watching along on Facebook. We want to welcome you here. We've kind of, I guess, made it through that halfway year mark. It's all going to be downhill to 2022, so that's a good thing. We've been trying to do this year in doing Take the Next Step by Faith. That's kind of been the running theme. We've been encouraging each other to figure out personally and congregationally what is our next step. What is the next thing we can do to be the people that Jesus has called us to be? Mother's Day, we started a series that was focused on our homes and on families. We talked about our prayers, how God's will to be done here on earth as it is in heaven and in our homes as it is in heaven. We encouraged each other to think about what's the next step that we can take with our families to being little embassies of God's kingdom in our neighborhood. And then we just finished a series talking about spiritual disciplines, thinking through some of those spiritual practices, spiritual disciplines that we can implement in our lives to sort of take our spiritual lives to the next level. Well, what are some of the disciplines that we can do to make sure we are taking the next step by faith? But this month, or these next few lessons, I want to sort of pause, and instead of encouraging us to take the next step, I want us to stop and look and think about where we are currently. Where are you currently? Where are we currently, both individually and congregationally? Sometimes we need to stop focusing on progress and examine and evaluate and reflect what's our current position. How are we all doing? How is your family doing? How are we doing as a congregation? Where are we right now? Because sometimes we know where we're going, we just don't know where we are at. We know what the destination is. We know what it is that we want to accomplish, but we just don't have a good understanding on where we are currently. A few years ago, on the returning flight home from Tampa, we were going from Tampa to Dallas, and it started to take time. I don't really know how long it takes to fly from Tampa to Dallas, but I figured about 2.5 or 3 hours, and we had well eclipsed. I had watched 2 movies and was in the middle of a third, and so I knew we were not getting close to Dallas somehow. So I paid for the online internet that you can get on the airplane to figure out where we were, because as if it mattered, like I could change something if I figured out where we were at. And I did. We were almost to Cincinnati, Ohio. It turns out there was bad weather in Louisiana, so they had rerouted us to Cincinnati. And of course, that's not really close to Dallas. I say that to say my current location was heading in the wrong direction. And again, it turns out that we had been rerouted. I knew what our destination was supposed to be. I just didn't know what our current location was. I was unclear about the situations. And sometimes that's true for us spiritually and morally. We know where we are supposed to be headed. We know what we are supposed to be doing, but we just aren't clear on where we are currently. So before we take that next step, before we focus on progress, let's spend some time doing some self-evaluation and figuring out, where am I and my family currently? How are we doing spiritually? How are we doing in our walk with Jesus? And it's hard. Self-evaluation is hard because it requires self-awareness. It's sort of like the guy who said, my friends are always telling me that I have no self-awareness, but that's ridiculous. I think if I'd had no self-awareness, I'd be the person that would know. But of course, that's the whole thing, right? You wouldn't know. People with no self-awareness have no idea that they have no self-awareness, because why? They have no self-awareness. So many times, we are lacking this trait or ability to look at ourselves and say, where am I heading right now? How am I doing right now? What's going on in my heart and my mind right now? What's going on in my spiritual life right now? Because sometimes we can fool ourselves into thinking we are already where we should be than where we are supposed to be. We know, again, what our destination is. It's just like that plane story. I knew where we were supposed to be going, and we had not got there. And had we not had that GPS, we would have fooled ourselves into thinking that we were taking the longest route to Dallas ever, when in reality, we were going in a totally different direction. Not because we didn't know what our final destination was, but because we didn't know the current situation. And again, that's how it is with us spiritually sometimes. It isn't that we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. It's that we don't have an accurate picture of our current location, of our current status. And so as we wrap up this Sermon on the Mount, we went through Matthew chapter 5 and chapter 6, and now as we enter into chapter 7 and Jesus is wrapping up this sermon, he really helps us to do some self-examination. But it's challenging because, again, it requires some self-awareness. It's going to require us to do what we talked about last week. It's going to be in being disciplined in doing some meditation. To meditate not just on what Jesus wants from me or how does Jesus want to live my life, me to live my life, not just those questions, but the questions of where am I right now? Because if we are going to take the next step of where we want to be, if we're going to know where we need to be, we have to know where we are currently. You can't know how to get where you're going unless you know where to start, and that's at the beginning. So let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Verse 1, Jesus says, "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." And we've probably all heard Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 many, many times. "Judge not that you be not judged." Some studies have shown that this has replaced John 3:16 as the most quoted verse in the Bible. Again, it used to be, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son." And now people, most people, regardless of background or beliefs, or even if they are a follower of Jesus, they know this verse, and chances are you have heard or know this verse, "Judge not that you be not judged." And we typically use this verse in two different ways. Number one, it's applied defensively. And we've all heard it used this way, "Judge not that you be not judged." It's used defensively to say, "Ha, you can't judge me. You see there, Jesus said, don't judge me." It's used defensively to tell somebody they aren't supposed to judge you. I defend myself against judgment by telling you are not supposed to judge me. But when we use this verse defensively, we're not applying it personally. We're not applying it to ourselves. The other way that I've heard it applied is dismissively. In other words, they'll say, "Well, but Jesus didn't really mean that." Or Jesus didn't mean don't judge, or that doesn't apply all the time. Or there are times when we are supposed to judge, so let's just talk about the times when we are supposed to judge and not talk about the times when we're not supposed to judge. But wait, stop. Yes, there are times when we are to correct somebody, where we make a judgment, but let's not dismiss what Jesus is saying here. Let's not read this verse defensively, where I apply it only to you and say, "You can't judge me," and let's not read it dismissively and say, "Well, Jesus didn't really mean that," or "There is a time and a place when we can judge." Let's read this verse and apply it personally and ask ourselves, how are we doing with this? If I'm honest with you, I kind of do poorly in this a lot of times. Is this verse applicable to me? Is it to you? "Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Right now, in the present, where am I with this? What's my position on being critical and judgmental and harsh? Am I a judgmental person? Am I a critical person? Am I a harsh person? Do I make unfair assumptions about people? That's what Jesus is getting at, isn't it? With the standard that you measure, it will be measured to you. You're going to be measured by the same measurement you use. So ask yourself, would I be okay? Would I really want God to hold me to the same standards that I hold others? Can you remember? Maybe you can't remember the last time you criticized somebody. Maybe it was online, or maybe you did it in person, or maybe you did it behind their back. When's the last time that you criticized somebody? You judged somebody. You said something harsh and judgmental. That person, man, they are always doing this or that, or those kinds of people, I don't like them, they're evil. When's the last time that you were harsh or judgmental or critical? And then ask yourself, would I want to be held to the same standard to which I'm holding them? And that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is admonishing the people of his days, the Pharisees and the disciples, and telling them not to judge by the wrong sort of standards. Don't hold people to a standard that you wouldn't want to be held to. How often do we do that? How often do we have a double standard? How often do we judge ourselves with grace and mercy and judge others by the letter of the law? You're wrong because you did this or that. You're bad because of this or that. We criticize and we judge and are so harsh with others, but we are usually so lenient and gracious with ourselves. Again, our tendency here is to read Jesus' words, "Judge not that you be not judged." And we say, "See, you can't judge me." But again, wait, you are applying that to someone else. Or to read those words dismissively and say, "Well, Jesus didn't mean not to really judge." Well, you're not applying it to yourself either. Jesus didn't mean to really stop being so judgmental, stop being harsh. That's exactly what Jesus meant. Stop holding people to a standard that you wouldn't want to be held to. Is there a right and wrong? Yes, absolutely. Is there a time to tell somebody? Yes, there is a time to tell people when they are wrong. Yes, Jesus himself offered judgment and criticism. But again, let's remember that it's not always the time. It's not always the time to be judgmental. And we are not always the person to be the one doing the judging. Verse 3 says, "Why do you see the speck in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that's in your own eye?" Even before the criticism and the judgment, even before you try and speak out, there's a problem in your eye. He says it's in what you see. He says you see a speck in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that's in your own eye. Are we aware of our own shortcomings? Are we aware of our own imperfections? Jesus here uses sort of a humorous metaphor. The idea that someone has a little bit of sawdust or a splinter in their eye, and this person who has a log, the word describing here is like a beam in the ceiling that is hanging out of somebody else's eye, and he's going to the guy with the speck and trying to help him with his eye. It's not just a matter of fact that he's trying to pick a speck out of somebody else's eye, because again, there is a time to do that. There is a time that we need to say, "Hey, you've got something in your eye, and I need to help you with it." The problem is here is that the person with the beam sticking out of their eye doesn't even notice the log that is sticking out of their eye. Are we aware of our own shortcomings? Sometimes we see our own shortcomings and we say, "Yeah, I know that about myself. I know I have a short temper. I know I do this or that. That's just how I am." Sometimes we see our shortcomings and we just don't care. Other times we know our shortcomings and we just don't know what to do about them. We say, "I hate the fact that I do this or that," or "I hate the fact that I struggle with this problem." But the real problem here is not the shortcomings we notice. It's the shortcomings that we don't notice. It's the blind spots that we have. He's encouraging his disciples that before you go and help someone with the speck in their eye, you need to pay attention to the fact that you may have a log in your own eye that you haven't even noticed. You're completely oblivious to the fact that you may have this huge glaring problem in your life. It isn't the shortcomings that I am aware of that keep me up. It's the shortcomings that I'm unaware of that give me pause. What do I not notice about myself? What do I not see? What am I wrong? Where am I wrong, or where am I failing short and have failed to realize it? Verse 4 says, "How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when there is a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye." If the log is in our eye, this shortcoming or failing or sin, not just that I have it in my, or it's not just in my life, but it's in my eye. It's creating a blind spot so that I don't see the situation clearly. I can't see my brother clearly. I can't see the issue clearly. I can't even see myself clearly, and I'm unaware of the log's existence. How do I know then that this applies to me? To you. how do we know that we have a log in our own eye? I thought a lot about this week. How can we know that we have a problem about which we are unaware of? And I think the answer is to assume that you do. That you always have to assume that there might be something obscuring your view. You always have to assume that there's a possibility that you have something in your eye affecting your judgment. That's obscuring your judgment about the situation, about your neighbor, or about yourself. You always have to assume there very well might be something wrong in you. And the only way to avoid being the guy with the log in his eye is to assume that you are the guy with the log in his eye. Again, the only way to avoid having a log in your eye is always to assume that I probably have the log in my eye. The Pharisees entered every discussion with this attitude: you're wrong and I'm right. If there was a difference of opinion and judgments, the Pharisees entered every conversation with the attitude: you're wrong and I'm right. That's really how almost every human enters a disagreement: I'm right and you're wrong. If I thought you were right, I would change and I would do things like you say, but I think I'm right. I'm right. You should be the one to change. That's how we get sometimes. But Jesus encourages his disciples to go about the business of self-examination, to have self-awareness, to enter into a conversation where we aren't just saying you're wrong and I'm right, but we enter into a conversation saying I might very well be wrong. I might not be seeing this situation clearly. I might very well have a log in my eye. What if we entered all conversations where we ask each other for help? There might be a time when I need help from you with the speck in my eye, or vice versa. But if I go into that conversation with a judgmental or harsh or critical way where I'm saying you're wrong and I'm right, I might very well be that guy with the log in his eye. Wouldn't it be better if we went into a conversation saying, you know what, I need help seeing this clearly. I may not understand this the way that I think I do. I may have something obscuring my vision and judgment. Something is making it difficult to see the way I should for me to see the situation. I should see it for me to see myself the way I should see. I may have something that is wrong with me. But if we go into every disagreement, if we go into every conversation where we only see what is wrong in the other person and not what is wrong in ourselves, then we are going to be guilty of what Jesus is telling us not to do. And again, it's so easy to apply these words to someone else. I know somebody that's judgmental like that. I know somebody that's always going around and wagging their finger at other people, but Jesus isn't talking about them. He's talking to you and to me, and he's encouraging us not to be judged so that you be not judged. Be careful. Be careful when you're quick to point out when someone's wrong or mistaken or they have something in their eye. You might very well have something bigger in your own. Pay attention to where you might be wrong. Pay attention to where your vision might be obscured. Pay attention to where you might not be seeing the situation as clearly as you think. Verse 6 says, Do not give dogs what is holy, and do not throw your pearls before pigs, lest they trample them underfoot and turn to attack you. That kind of takes some pondering, doesn't it? It sounds like just a second ago, I thought we were talking about not judging. I thought we were talking about being less critical. I thought we were talking about how sometimes when I go to help a neighbor with a speck in their eye, sometimes I have a log in my own. Why all of a sudden is he talking about dogs and pigs? I think he hasn't really changed the subjects. He's talking about the same thing. I think sometimes the judgment that we want to give someone, it might really help them with the speck in their eye. Sometimes the judgment that we want to give someone might really be something holy. If someone tells you what you're doing is wrong, that you're breaking your covenant with God, you're doing is separating yourself from God, they are giving you a gift. They are giving you something holy. When we call people to repentance, we are giving them something holy. When somebody gives you a criticism or a rebuke, and that is true and it's right, that is a pearl of wisdom. But if you give what is holy to dogs, they don't receive it as something holy. They don't appreciate it as something holy. When you give a pearl to a pig, he doesn't appreciate it as a pearl. He doesn't know what to do with it. He's a pig, right? In fact, he might turn and attack you. Sometimes you might very well have a very true nugget of gold to share with someone. You might really be helping them with the speck in their eye. You might really have something holy to share with someone. You might have a pearl of wisdom to share, but sometimes they might not be the right character or the right mindset at the time. It might not be the right time to share with them. In fact, they might turn and attack you. Just because your judgment or the judgment that you want to give to someone is true and right, it might not be the right time. They may not even be the right person. You might not be the right person to give it to them. So let's think about this. Analyze before you criticize. There's a time and a place to criticize and to correct others. There is a time and a place to offer admonishment and rebuke, to say you shouldn't have done things like this. There's a right time to do that. But if there's a right time, there's also a not a right time. There's also not a right place. You're not always the right person that's always going to be, and they're not always going to be in the right mindset to receive what you say. So before we offer criticism or judgment or admonishment, let's ask at least these three questions according to what Jesus has just told us. We need to ask ourselves before we judge or criticize or quick to judge that we don't stop, or that we do stop and do some analyzing of ourselves so that we're not guilty of what Jesus tells us not to do. Analyze our judgment. Would I want to be held to this same standard? Jesus says, judge not that you be not judged. For this measure you will be measured to you. Would I want to be held to the same standard? And then we say, well, I'm holding them to the standard of right and wrong. Well, again, wait a second. Everybody, every human being in an argument thinks they're holding the other person to the standard of right and wrong. That's exactly what the Pharisees thought. I'm holding these people to the standard of our law. I'm holding these people to the standard of our customs. I'm holding these people to the same standards that we've always held people to. But that's not how we typically measure. We tend to measure ourselves graciously and take into consideration our own motives. We say, I mess up sometimes, but I always mean to do well. And we measure ourselves incredibly graciously. But when somebody else does something wrong, it's because they're a horrible person. Would you want to be measured by that same standard that you are measuring others? And again, that's not to say that there isn't an appropriate time to correct someone, but it's not always the right time. And sometimes the judgment or the criticism that we want to offer people is not fair. And that's exactly what the people of Jesus' day were guilty of. And that's the sort of things that we are guilty of so many times, that we are holding people to an unfair standards. And we need to analyze our judgment. We also need to analyze ourselves. Ask ourselves, do I really have clarity about myself and about this situation? Or do I have a log in my eye? It seems to me that this person needs correction. They are wrong. So ask yourself, am I really the person that needs to be doing this? That is this the right time for me to be doing the correcting? Do I really have the clarity on this situation, about the situation, and about myself? Because so often, if we are honest, we have a log hanging out of our eye, then we can't see the situation ourselves or our log clearly because our vision is obscured. Instead of going in attacking, maybe we should go in asking how we can help. Here's how I see things, but maybe you see it from a different point of view. How can you help me see this differently? There might be a time when we have to go and correct someone, but again, this might not be the time, or you might not have the clarity about yourself or the situation because the log in your eye. So analyze your judgment, analyze yourself, and then finally, analyze your neighbor. How will this person receive this criticism? Jesus invites us to say, sometimes people are dogs, right? Sometimes people are pigs. That's not to say he's telling us to call them that, but it means sometimes that sometimes you have something holy to offer them. You have a pearl to offer them, but that's not how it's going to be received. something holy or something valuable. They're going to trample all over it, and then they're going to trample all over you. And that's exactly what we tend to do. We tend to throw criticism about all the time. Don't do that. Stop doing this. Well, stop. Wait. Number one, are we being fair? Analyze your judgment. Ask, is this fair? Would I want to be held to the same standard? Then ask yourself, am I really saying this from a place of my own clarity about the situation and about my own morality? Is there something in my life that needs to be corrected first before I go and try and help people with the speck in their eye? And then finally, analyze your neighbor. When we go about, it's super easy on social media to just throw criticism and rebuke around. If it's really holy, if it's really a pearl, if this calling people to repentance and sharing with people how their life can and should change, then it's something too precious. It's something too valuable, something too holy to throw around haphazardly because it gets trampled on. And sometimes, if we aren't careful, we will get trampled on. Jesus invites us to offer correction, to offer help with the speck in someone else's eye, to offer something holy, to offer a pearl very cautiously, very carefully. We have to analyze before we criticize. Again, it's easy to think about someone else. What about ourselves? We have to stop and ask, where am I at in all of this? I absolutely want to get to a point where I help people with the speck in their eye. I think all of us in this room want to get to that point. We want to get to the point where we offer people something holy, a pearl of wisdom. But before you can get to that point, you really have to get good at analyzing before criticizing. Ask yourself, is my judgment correct? Are they in a place where they can receive this and understand what is being offered to them? We've all been given judgment. We've all been given correction. We've all been invited to repent and change. That's what Jesus has offered all of us. That's what the gospel is. It's holy. It's a pearl. It calls us to make a change in our life. That's what, as Christians, we responded to. If you've been baptized into Jesus, you responded because you were given something holy. You were given a pearl. You were told if you keep going in the direction you are going to have to face consequences. But Jesus wants to forgive you and shape you and help show you to have a brand new life. But part of that brand new life that we are receiving is becoming less critical, less harsh, and less judgmental. That we're not the kind of people running around wagging our fingers at everyone else because we realize that sometimes we too have a log in our own eye. Yes, we have been called to repentance and the world has been called to repentance, but sometimes the repentance that needs to happen is in our own hearts and in our own life. One of the ways that sometimes it needs to happen is that we need to become less judgmental and get the log out of our own eye. So let's spend more time doing self-evaluation. Analyze yourself, your judgments, and by what standard you offer criticism to others, and maybe some of that needs to change. I think that we can all say that we have made mistakes in this area, I guess, along with every area in our lives. That's why church, that's why this community is so important, that we love each other and are helping each other and helping each other do some introspection on our lives, but that also being gracious with each other and being forgiving with each other. And then once we see where we are at, we will continue taking that next step in faith. I promise next week's will be shorter. This morning, if you are not a Christian, we urge you to make that decision. There's no more important decision in life than choosing to follow Christ. It's one of those things that's so simple, but it's extremely difficult to do. We encourage you to make that choice, to let us help you in your walk with Christ. If you are a Christian and have found yourself failing or needing the help, prayers of your brothers and sisters, now would be an opportune time to come as together we stand and we sing.